Greetings in Jesus' name. It is good to be here with each one of you all again here today. I'd like to do something a little different here and give those of us that traveled together to come forward, and we'd like to spend just a little time and share with you some of our experiences that we had there in Mexico. And I think most of us were probably stretched, and we went places that doing alone we might have not felt comfortable doing, but we would, I think everyone has agreed to come forward and we'll probably sing some songs and then just spend some time sharing with you. And I would like for the little children to come forward with us, because everything that we did, there was always children around. So we might feel a little more comfortable if you children came and joined us. So if any of you little ones want to come forward, you're welcome to come.
Well, most of us didn't know the language when we were singing, but we picked up a few of the words. And I hope none of you know Spanish too well, because if you do, you'll probably correct us on our pronunciation. We're going to sing a couple of the songs that we learned in a crash course there. The first one, it's called Alabaré, and I think roughly the translation would be that I will praise him. It's a clapping song. I don't know if you children are ready to do some clapping as we do it. Someone better than me might want to song lead this here, and I'll try and keep the microphone as far away from my voice as I can.
Alabaré, 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 alabaré. Alabaré mi Señor, alabaré, 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 alabaré mi Señor.
And the next one that we're going to do is, I guess it'd be the Spanish version of at the cross where I first saw the light. So maybe you'll pick up on a few words here.
En la cruz, en la cruz, sobre merrily la luz. Y las manchas de mi alma yo labré, fue allí por fe, yo vi a Jesús, y siempre feliz con él seré. Sobre una luz, luz mi, muy mío, su sangre de
there were a bunch of other songs, but we don't have all the words in front of us, and we don't have our Spanish song leaders that we had. We had a couple of missionaries that knew Spanish better than most of us, and were gracious enough to help us through some of the difficult pronunciation parts. It was a really, really great experience. I was thinking about how sometimes the best way to get to know someone is to work with them. And I feel like each of us had an opportunity to really get to know the Lord better while working with him. And I saw a lot of growth in a lot of us. And I guess stretching is often a good way to grow. And I won't share too much of what happened because I want to hear it shared from the perspective of some of these guys. So who would like to share first?
Well, I wasn't really sure what to expect from the trip. I'd never really been on a trip like this before, but the first night we got there, we put our stuff in the dorms and we came back out, and John, the guy, was kind of running the thing. He's like, it's nice to see all these young men here. He said, you're going to be expected to preach, so I hope you're prepared for this. And we're kind of nervous. We weren't really expecting that. We weren't sure what to expect after that. But breakfast the next day was like 7:30, I think. We usually got up around 6 or 6:30. And after breakfast, we would usually pack the stuff we were going to be passing out that day. We had some hygiene kits, some different stuff. We passed out some Bibles and kids coloring books, things like that. So we would get that ready. We would usually leave the base around 10 o'clock, and it took about half an hour, I think, probably something like that, to get to the camps. And the camps were pretty interesting. They're basically a bunch of tents all set up right beside each other with a bunch of tarps strung out over the top. So anyways, as soon as you got there, there were kids everywhere. They all wanted to hug you and hold your hand, and it was pretty crazy. But usually we would set up the sound system. One of the guys there would talk for a little. We would usually sing a few songs and try to pass out the stuff we brought. It was kind of hard to keep them in line and stuff. They would kind of, yeah, I don't know. A few people got mobbed when they were trying to pass out stuff. But then we would usually split up into groups and go around. Some the people that could speak Spanish would talk to people. The rest of us couldn't really do that much, so we would play games with the kids, just do whatever we could with them. That was pretty much the only way we could interact with them. So we had some different games we would play. They really liked jump roping. They were pretty good at that. And so, yeah, usually around 2 or 2:30, we would leave the camps. It took like an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, to get back into the U.S. There's a really long line. And there are a lot of people along that line trying to sell you stuff. It was pretty interesting. They would come right up to your cars and try to wash them and stuff before even asking you. But yeah, we'd usually get back to the camps around 4, or back to the base around 4:30 or so, and eat supper. And after that, it was just pretty much whatever you wanted to do. We would play some games, do whatever. But yeah, I think it was really good just to go there and actually see the people. You kind of get a picture in your head of what they're like before you go, but to actually see their situation and stuff was really good. There was a girl there that had tried to cross the border. There was I think it was a 30-foot wall across that whole area where we were. That was what the border was. And she had tried to climb the wall, and she had fallen and broken her arms, and she was pretty banged up. And then I just brought her back and left her in the camp. And she had no place to stay or anything. She had just gotten dropped off there. She wasn't even from Mexico. She was from a different country down there. So, yeah, it was just interesting seeing all the need there. There was a lot of people in need, and it makes you think about what you're doing for God, where you're at. There's so many needs in places like that. But yeah, I was just really inspired to do more around here, more reaching out and stuff. I think it was good for all of us.
I think that crisis at the border in Mexico is kind of a unique mission opportunity because it's something that has been in the news very much, and it's become very much a political thing. So we've probably all heard lots of different opinions about how it should be handled and who these people are and what their motives might be. And it's, I think it's easy to start thinking of it as just an issue that needs to be dealt with and forget that these are individuals. So for me to go down there and spend time with them was really good because it helped me gain a perspective on who these people are and what their needs are, and remember that these are individuals with stories. They are people that God loves very much that need Jesus, and just to think of it as something that needs to be dealt with by the government. Sometimes you forget that part. And even though it felt like we couldn't do much of anything, to be there and, you know, hug the babies and play with the children and listen to their stories a little bit was really good and helped me to have a lot of more compassion for them. And I think it would be good for all of us, whether it's that situation or any other, to actually to be part of something instead of just hearing about it, because you get a better idea of what it is. So it felt like we could do so little, but being able to pass out literature, spend time playing with the children, and hear some stories was really good, and I'm very thankful for the time that we had. And was very thankful for the opportunity to spend time with all of these people here. I liked them a lot before we went, and I like them even better now. and so I'm very thankful for the opportunity that we had there.
Yeah, so I think when I heard about it, I wasn't sure at first whether I wanted to go, but I thought pretty sure that pretty soon that I would want to, and just want to pray about it. And I think we hear a lot about it, but to actually go and see it, I think we give a lot as a church. We give a lot to Kim, and to actually go help be the hands and feet doing the work. And I think I felt pretty helpless when I got there, and they all come up and they're talking to me, but I don't know anything they're saying. But to be able to play with the children and hand out the literature that they could read later on, I think that a lot of people did. Here we pass out tracts. It seems like people take it, they're like, thank you, but they don't take the time to read it. But I think there they do, and I think they're pretty open. I think they're pretty desperate people, and they want something. And as we can give them the love of Jesus, and I think that really went a long way, even where we couldn't really communicate mostly. And I was really thankful for the interpreters and Malcolm's willingness to go along, and I think he was able to connect with some people, and I was encouraged to be stretched and be ready to have a message or be ready to sing or be ready to talk to people. And I think that was a really good experience. And yeah, and just spending time with this group and traveling and saying, I think we can be a light there too. And so that's pretty much what I had to share. And definitely grew over this time, and definitely feel like there's a lot of work to do around here too, and just want to be involved. So
can anyone hear me? Okay. There was one of the people that I talked to, on the first day, they had just come from Honduras, and they had brought their 10-year-old daughter and their wife and his wife, and he said that he had came and he was showing me that he had these. Like, he showed me his wrists and his ankles, and he said that he left because they had someone had basically there was these scars on his ankles and on his wrist, and they were, I guess where he was, there was people that were coming and hurting people and putting marks on their ankles and wrists, and I was like, wow. But he said that it's interesting, you don't meet many people there that say that they're atheists, because it seems like it just isn't a thing. And he said he was a Christian, and I think most people do that are there. John is one of the people that, he's the guy that brought us. He said that the thing to ask people is if they're a follower of Jesus, and not to ask them if they're a Christian, because everybody will say yes. And so it was just something to think about. I think it works for us too here. But yeah, this small family, they sold everything that they had in their own country in Honduras, and they said they had to pay about $12,000 to somebody to bring them there. I don't know if it was $1,000 US dollars or what it was, but anyway, he said as soon as he paid the person, that they just gave him to the cartels and brought him up there. And then he said, like, if he had just got there that day, and he was like, he seemed to be afraid that that if he left the camp, that the police would sell him to the cartels. But that seems, I don't know if he misunderstood what would happen or not, but anyway, he was happy to get a Bible from us, because he didn't really have any scripture with him, even though he made it sound like he was a part, from what he told me, he was a part of some kind of a church before he came from his home country. So, but I think it was just good that we're able to be a blessing to people like him. And I'm just glad that John was able to continue to bring, because they're bringing different groups like this week from there too. And I think he sent a message to me last night saying that more and more people are showing up there. So, yeah, that's good.
I guess one thing that I really want to encourage people on, from something that I've learned before but was reminded again on the trip, is make sure to, wherever you go, put names to people's faces, because that's really when you start making a connection and feeling the compassion that I think God wants us to feel for people. Oftentimes, like was stated, you know, if you see stuff on the news, it's not the same as when you start putting names to those people, because that could be your child. For some reason, God had that child born here, where it was easier to support them and take care of them. But once you start putting names to people, even in your own towns, compassion comes a lot easier. And we do have a hope that God wants us to give to other people.
It was really good to be able to spend that time with these people. I think of what Josh was sharing earlier about an aftertaste, and I think there was a good aftertaste, and I'm really appreciative for all the people that helped make that possible, from the ones that started planning it, Grandy and Shayna, that did a lot of the organization, and just everyone here at church supporting us, encouraging us, praying for us. It was really a blessing that Emmanuel could be there with us. It was a really good experience, I think, for a lot of us younger people to have more of that time to relate and connect and learn from him. It was really good to be able to spend the time with John, who was the missionary that had spent his time in Costa Rica, I think 40-something years. And it was really good to see each of the ones who went, how they acted in godly ways and encouraged each other and spurred each other on. And I'm really glad that we could go. And there's probably a bunch of you that should be thinking about signing up the next time. But just was a real encouragement. And thank you for everything.
I definitely was blessed in being able to go. We didn't much more than get there, and I realized that John Miller was going to bring us out of our comfort zone. And he was speaking to every one of us, and I think we all realized we were going to be stretched, like it or not. And but John is an energetic person. He was, I don't know, he's about, I think, 70 years old, but you couldn't tell. He gets up, I don't know, is it 1 o'clock in the morning?
1 or 2 in the morning.
Gets up in early in the morning and does a 6-mile run, give or take, depending on how he's feeling. Comes back and takes a shower and goes back to bed. And that's a little bit of John. He has a 70-pound weight there that he can pick up and do this. And some of us could do that. I managed to, but I still feel it. And so he's quite, yeah, you can't help but like him. You know, when you ask him how old he is, he says, well, I went to the mission field when I was like 19, something like that. And I was there for 45 years, and I've been back so many years, and how old am I? So, yeah, he was good for us. And he was very intentional, speaking into our lives, asking questions, and teaching the young people about courtship, about interacting. And, you know, I was really blessed by that and realized that I need to take some of that home with me and be more intentional about what I do and say. But going over and coming into these camps, it's like, it's sort of, I don't know if I can even express what I felt when you get there and you see the hunger for the children coming to you and the people just crowding around you, and you realize they want something. And you realize there's this language barrier. And, you know, there's only so much you can communicate through an interpreter. And how effective is that? You know, it's like, I don't know, it's just a lot there. But it was good. It was very encouraging. You know, I think we went to encourage them, but I think maybe they might have encouraged us more than we did them. That's how I felt anyway. But Sunday morning was an experience for me. I was asked to preach there in front of, I don't know, hundreds of people anyway. And we got there and we were there visiting, and then we went up and started singing, and the children were all around us, and like they were, and we were holding children, and children came to me and wanted to be held, and different ones kept coming, and you know, it was my turn to go and share. And I had to put a child down, but just looking across the crowd, it's very amazing to see that there was a group of people there that they were all in the same boat, so to speak. They had very little, you know, pretty much had left their homes and were looking to better their life, but you could sense a hunger for something, truth. And it's, I never preached to that many people, but I don't know if I ever preached to that many people where it seemed like they were all just soaking it in. And it was like, it just felt,
I felt helpless because I realized that, you know, I can't even speak to these people without someone interpreting for me. And so that was pretty special to be able to do that. And John is a very good interpreter, and he's maybe, I don't know how to describe him, but he doesn't hold still. He's walking the aisles, going back and forth. And, you know, there was a pulpit there, but there was no time for a pulpit. we were walking around, and so that was really something. The only, thinking about that time of sharing, you know, I had thought about it. It's like, if I hadn't come, Henry would have probably had that opportunity to preach there to those people, because it truly, as intimidating as it was and as afraid as I was, and as when I got there, as helpless as I felt, I was just amazed how, you know, it just felt like you could just feel the people were connecting. I would share something, it was interpreted, and the people would get emotional and talk, and I don't know what they were saying, but they were excited. So it was, I think we were truly blessed by that. So, yeah, well, thank you. All right, you guys all want to go to your seats? Thank you for coming up here. And even when I was up there and sharing, you know, I was going back and forth. There was an aisle there, and, you know, the children were right there. And there was, I don't know if there was more than one child or not, but there was this child that it kept coming up to me and just, you know, tapping me, or I kept bumping into it, and I was pretty sure it wasn't me. And it's like, finally, it's like I took the time to recognize that child. And so it was something. Well, as I was thinking about what we just shared here, and I'd like to just share a little bit into thinking about our relationship and journey with Christ. And if we turn to Ephesians chapter 2, just a couple of verses there that I'd like to share with us. In, you know, we have a journey as well. You know, we see, we hands-on saw the opportunity for seeing a people that were leaving a life behind. And they were moving forward, expecting to better their lives. And they were going by what they heard and what they were told. And if we listen to the world and the things that come from the world, we will experience what maybe many of those people will. And it's not a fault of their own, but they've been told a lie, and probably many of those will not, at least for a long time, will not be able to come over and appreciate or enjoy the things that we enjoy here. But in Ephesians chapter 2, I'd just like to read a couple of verses here. "And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That was all of us.
We all have been at that place and experienced that. But in verse 4 here, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus, the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. There in these verses and many more, we can see, we're reminded of who we are, who we were, and as we found Christ, the new person that we are. You know, we went on this journey, those that have committed their life to Christ. And as we live, you know, we are reminded that it isn't something that we can gain or that we can buy, but it is grace. It's not of our works, lest any man should boast. But as Christ works in us, you know, we have this gift. And we value it. We realize what it has done for us. And when we meet people and see them face to face that don't have that, and we put a name to them, like was mentioned this morning here, is our heart goes out to them. And we realize that they need this gift as well. And, you know, when we have the ability to communicate and discuss and share, it, you know, we feel like we can connect with these people. But when I had that opportunity to share to these people, and you felt the need, the desire that they had, and you realized that they were looking for, many of them were looking for that gift that we have, that we sometimes take for granted. But when you see that, and you realize that I can't communicate with them, I can't share, you know, what I feel like I need to share with them, but that you have to rely on
someone else to share what you share. And it made me realize that too often, you know, I have opportunities to share, and it's too easy for me to do that in my own ability, in my own strengths. And, you know, if I made the habit of, when I'm sharing truth, sharing, encouraging people, if I had that mindset that, you know, I can't do this. This is beyond me. But if I ask the Lord to come in and do the communicating and use me and have this understanding that's like, well, you know, unless I get some help here, I'm not even going to get to first base. And I wonder how much our world as Christians, how much would change if we all did that. Maybe most of you are all doing that, and I'm just too often not. In Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And those are verses of courage, of comfort, you know, when we feel overwhelmed or feel like it's like, well, I don't have what it takes. Those are verses that, you know, remind us that Christ can do those things. And so that's one of the things that, you know, when you have a language barrier that makes you realize how helpless we truly are. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 8 and just look at a parable here that I would like for us to take with us today. And, you know, as we hear truth, as we experience God working in our lives, as we experience God working in other people's lives, and we, when God stirs our hearts, just like for us to consider this here. In Luke chapter 8, going down to verse 4, and I'm going to start reading there. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be? What are you trying to tell us?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns, and they which, when they heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection, but that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Jesus here was speaking to the people, and he was showing the conditions of different hearts. And I was thinking about that, you know, especially thinking about our trip and realizing, you know, we were made aware of by other people's conditions, other people's hunger for truth, to better their life. Some of them, I believe, truly were seeking for truth. Others were looking for just a better life. And some, I believe, had found the truth. But as we experience, you know, a different culture, and we see how good we have it, and our hearts are stirred and motivated to be more intentional or a purpose-driven people. And, you know, God wants to do a work, and he wants to take us another step. He wants to take us, prepare us for what he has for us in the future, and or even now. But when our hearts are stirred, and we start thinking about how to be more effective, how to be more purpose-driven, and to better the kingdom of God, we become a target for our enemy. Our enemy sees our hearts stirring, and he's going to, I believe, when he sees us rising up and being stirred, he doesn't want that to produce fruit. And so unless we are intentional and follow those thoughts that we had, the things that we felt God laying on our hearts, unless we are intentional and on purpose go through with those things and apply those things to our lives, if we're not careful, verse 15, you know, we won't get that far. You know, we're excited, and life gets a little dry, and we get thirsty, and we forget what the Lord spoke to us, and we easily revert back to what we were doing before. You know, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and it, you know, it got choked out. You know, the cares of this life press in, and we get busy with everyday life, and everyday life, you know, it's necessary. It's important. It's important to work. It's important to take care of our family. It's important to spend time with our children, with our spouses, and those things are all very important. But, you know, if we're not careful, when God works, when he speaks to us, we get all excited, but then it just gets pushed back and dries up and goes away. And so in verse 8 there, he cried to the people there, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And basically, you know, what I hear him saying there is, listen up, pay attention. These things are real. And unless you really take them in, we're very easily, you know, become that. But God, you know, he spent a lot of time with us. He's worked our soils. He's worked our hearts. He's hoping to get some fruit. And it just reminds me, you know, those of us that are familiar with gardening, and when we prepare a piece of ground and we spend time with it, we like to see fruit from it. Our heart is in it. And I'd like for us to picture that as God is working in our lives. You know, he really desires to use you. He really desires to have fruit come out of our lives and produce something good. In verse 15 there, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." That is what God wants to see coming out of our lives. And you know, it's not just by chance that he stirs our hearts. He intentionally does that, and he does it in different ways. Sometimes it's through hardships, so we see our spiritual needs, our physical needs. Sometimes he allows us to go see people that life is difficult, and we are, you know, we recognize how good God is, and it stirs our hearts. But one of the things that stood out to me is when you see people that are hungering, that are looking for something, I don't know that there's anything that speaks louder than that. And you know, may the Lord help us in that we, when people interact with us, that they would see, you know, a desire for truth and a desire to serve the Lord, a desire to be intentional. And that's one of the things that spoke out to me as I got to know John Miller there. You know, it seemed like he was very intentional. And he thought about things. You know, some of the questions he asked me, and it's like, I don't know, I don't remember if it was a group setting or not. I think it was maybe. But he's like, "Do you guys ever play volleyball?" And we talked about that for a little bit, and he wondered. He's like, "Do you go with them and play volleyball?" And he's like, "You need to." And so, you know, he sees, you know, encouraged us in relationships and in doing things together. And so I was blessed by that, and just spending that time together in that way. I do love being home with my family, and it's comfortable. It feels safe. You know, I don't have to get out of a box as much, but it was definitely good for me to be together like that. So, where do we go for our spiritual food? You know, if we're looking to this world for encouragement in that,
we're not going to find it. You know, but if we look to the Lord, and if we look to each other, and are intentional about our relationships with each other, then we will find encouragement. We will find ourselves growing and being excited in the Lord, and God will receive all the honor and glory. I'd just like to stand and close in prayer, and just thought about, you know, we had prayer for those of us that left, and we asked for safety, and we all came back safely. You know, it's something that we were thinking about. We were expecting that we would come back, but, you know, we know a group that went on a mission trip, and they're still not at home. And so, you know, we recognize that our lives are in the hands of God. And so we recognize that. We believe that God isn't finished with us yet. So let's be his feet and hands and be used of him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time here, Lord. I thank you for our church here, my people. Lord, I thank you that we can be together here this morning, and for the words that were shared with us here, Lord, I just pray that you would just help us to take those things, to apply them to our own hearts and lives, and as we take them home, as we take them to our workplaces, as whatever, wherever we go, Lord, that they would be alive and well in our hearts, and that we could share them with others. Lord, we also just want to pause and recognize, Lord, that you you did keep us safe on a lengthy travel in flying and in visiting with people across the border, Lord, and we recognize your hand of protection, and we thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we know that you have a purpose and plan for our lives, and we do want to yield to that. I thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.